If you would, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we are going to look at verse 1. This is what it says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. That's it. That's all we're going to talk about this morning. Just that verse. We're not going to take a long time. We're not going to say anything necessarily new or profound, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. You need to understand something about the phrase that John gives us here. When he says, do not, it really means stop. Not don't start what might be bad for you, but rather, I know that you're already troubled. Stop being troubled. Do not, or do not continue. It's in the present tense. It means continuous action. And until something stops their troubling, they will continue to be troubled. So he says, stop being troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus is not saying, do not be sad any longer. Rather, Jesus is exhorting them in this tempest-tossed feeling that they have, this agitated feeling, this thrown into the state of confusion feeling. Don't be troubled. You've got to understand what's going on in the life of the disciples right now. They're still sitting at the Passover meal. We've just observed communion. They're around the table. They're sitting with Jesus, and Jesus has already told them that he's leaving. This has caused them stress, and then one of them's going to betray Jesus, and then another disciple is going to deny Jesus. And in the midst of all of these things that Jesus said is going to happen to and through the disciples, he says to them, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled about Judas betraying me. Don't be troubled about Peter denying me three times. Don't be troubled about my death on the cross. Don't be troubled. And it's not just start being troubled, but rather stop. Don't let it start. He's not saying don't let it start. It has already begun. He's telling them to stop what's already happening in their lives. And how are they to do that? The heart is the fulcrum of feeling and of faith. It's also the mainspring of our words and of our actions. We find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The hearts of the disciples are troubled. They are sad because of the idea that Christ would be leaving them. They're ashamed because of their selfishness and their sinful pride at the Passover meal, which they're still at. They're confused and perplexed over betrayal and denying. How can Jesus be the Messiah if he's going to die? I thought he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Saviors don't die, they save. They come in like a triumphant king and they rescue and they take back what is rightfully theirs. Jesus, you can't die. You're the Savior. And now they're troubled because they can't fit God into their mind. They can't fit God into the box that they've made for Him. Because He's supposed to rescue them, not die. How is dying going to rescue? And so in this context, all of a sudden the words, do not be troubled or stop being troubled, take on real significant meaning for the disciples. And they should take on real significant meaning for us as well. I want you to also notice that Jesus is not saying something very pious, like, just don't worry, it'll be okay. That's not what Jesus says. So, sometimes we want to have that piousness in times of trouble. Hey, it'll be all right, buddy. But you don't know that. The only thing you know is that God is working all things together for good, but what is good to us and what is good to God sometimes are two radically different things. And so we say, not, it'll be okay, but don't let your heart be troubled. Trust God and trust me, Jesus says. When Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, he fortifies it with solid ground. He fortifies it with faith or trust. Trust in God, trust also in me. What you can't really see in this text is the verb tense in the English. It really means continue to trust. He's saying, stop being troubled, because that's continuing on, and we need to stop that. And how are we going to stop being troubled? By faith. By trust. Excuse me. By faith or trust. Continue to trust in God. Continue to trust in me. You see, faith and salvation is a miraculous and a wonderful thing because it saves us. We are justified at that point and we begin the sanctification process where we'll go through growth all the rest of our Christian lives and ultimately we'll be glorified and be like Christ. That all happened at salvation. But what we often forget, and one of the things we've been talking to the college students about on Sunday mornings, is the fact that faith, grace by faith, isn't just salvation, but if we're going to live the Christian life, then each and every moment of each and every day is lived by grace through faith. Salvation, that one-time thing that is good for all eternity, is done not by your works, but it's done by grace through faith. Sanctification is no different. Becoming like Christ is no different. He says, if you want to become like me, then by grace through faith, you will believe me when I speak. You will trust me when I tell you I have a plan. You will go with me all the way to the cross if necessary, if that's what I call you to do, because you trust me. You believe me. And that's lived moment by moment, each and every day. We live by grace through faith and obedience. It is the power of God that enables us to live that way. It is His grace. So although the disciples love Jesus, their belief and trust in Him as the Messiah and the Savior of His people was beginning to waver. And Jesus knew that in a few hours, if their faith is beginning to waver at the Passover meal, imagine what's going to happen to Peter when he denies Christ three times. Imagine the trouble that's going to be on his soul then when he's betrayed his friend and his master and his teacher and his Savior. Think about Judas. What's going to be on his mind when he recognizes what he's done? Even so much that he'll go out and kill himself because it was such a heavy load of a troubled heart. Interesting. Judas has already left the supper, not being a follower of Christ and going to betray him. And he doesn't hear Jesus' words, stop letting your heart be troubled. And there is a huge difference between the response of Judas in having a troubled heart and the response of Peter, who has been told by the grace of God, if you will trust me, there's no need for your heart to be troubled any longer. Trust me. He knew their faith was going to be put to the test. Jesus knew also that the only remedy to their troubled soul was faith, was assurance that Jesus is the Savior and Jesus remains the Savior whether He dies on the cross or not. And the fact is, it is only because Jesus Christ dies on the cross that they can aptly call Him Savior. If He does not die, He is not the Savior. Jesus tells His disciples the remedy for their troubled heart is trust. The remedy for their troubled heart is faith. Faith that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Trust that He is the Savior. Trust that He is in control of all things, as He says. Trust that He will never leave them nor forsake them, no matter what it physically looks like on the cross. Trusting that He will produce the fruit of the Spirit in them by grace through faith. And remembering that all the promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen, 1 Corinthians tells us. And He tells us that we must have faith and trust Him. The interesting thing is that that's exactly what Jesus Christ calls us to today. Maybe you're here this morning and your heart is troubled. And it's not going to be enough for us to go, hey, God's in control, it'll be okay. There's got to be something substantial for you to say, there's a reason why my heart doesn't need to be troubled. It's because I can trust the Word of God. God is not a liar, Hebrews 6:18 and John 17:17 says, Jesus' words are truth. Sanctify them by their truth. You want to trust in something. You want to believe in something. You can bank on God. It's not something pithy like, hey, it'll be okay. But rather, God is in control. And if He says that He is, if you will believe Him, faith will be produced in you and you will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus says to us this morning, trust me that I am the Savior of the world. Trust me that I am the Messiah. Trust me that no matter what comes into your life, I am in control. You can trust me. I will not give you something that you cannot bear. I will not tempt you beyond what you can handle. For I do not tempt anyone, nor am I tempted. I am God, he says. Jesus is calling us to trust Him not only for our eternal life, but for our daily life, moment by moment. So when you go home today and your heart is troubled and you say, what can I do for my troubled heart? Jesus tells us, let me bolster your faith and read my word that I might prove myself to be faithful, for I am a God who does not lie. Your heart does not need to be troubled. You can trust me. Let's pray. God, you are a great God, and you are worthy to be praised. There is so much more in this text that we can mine, but is there any more that we need at this moment than to know that you are a God, and we are your people, and we can trust you? When you say that you discipline those you love, then when we're disciplined, we need to know that we're loved. When you say you care for the poor and the weak, then we need to know that you care for us. When you say that you choose the foolish things to confound the wise, then we need to know that you have chosen us for purpose and for reason. When you say that you prepared works in advance for us to do, then we need to be about your business because we know that you prepared them for us. When you say that you desire for men to repent and believe, then we need to be about evangelism. We need to be about telling your word to others so that we can trust you and take you at your word, for you are a faithful God. We love you. We know that your faithfulness is new to us every morning. As we have gathered even around your communion table and supped with you, and even as we have followed in believers' baptism, oh God, may you know our love for you and may our hearts not be troubled, not because our circumstances aren't hard, and not because our circumstances are not overwhelming, but because we serve a God who's in control of all of those circumstances. And you are working them together for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you go, if I could have come up here, please. Emily Peltz, Scott Gaskill, Jason Rittmiller, Brett Pelton, Susan Butts, Hannah Bland, Alicia Burgraff, Randy Owens, and Ann Stevens. Yeah, just...